Chapter 11. Phineas exhaled a loud sigh and then started for the door, and the guards parted to allow us inside, even though I wasn't super stoked to go in. I had no idea who or what continued to scream as though her organs were being ripped from her body, and a part of me didn't want to find out. Once we made it past the door, I could see a single bed against the wall across from the entrance. Four tall bedposts nearly reached the ceiling, and a set of nightstands stood on either side of the bed. The most interesting part of the room, however, wasn't the furniture. The source of the screaming was a mermaid who looked to be in her 20s. Long white hair floated around her head like wild flames, and flat black eyes glared daggers at us while she continued to scream like a banshee. Black lines zigzagged across her pale skin, and her fingernails were long ebony stilettos that looked ready to tear our eyes out. Then her eyes focused on Aliona, and another scream ripped from her throat like a wild animal.
"The priestess!"
The mermaid flapped her pearl-colored tail, but she made no progress toward us. A thick iron chain was wrapped around the bottom of her fin and anchored into the floor, and it rattled and clanked against the bed as she fought to reach out to the princess.
"Those are the only two words she's said in the last 2 months," Phineas murmured with a frown. "Or she just screams. She doesn't recognize any of us anymore."
"What happened to her?"
Aliona asked as she fluttered around the room to get a better look at the mermaid.
"She's clearly been poisoned by miasma, but no one else was affected?"
"No one." The Duke shook his head. "We found her like this, clawing at the door of her job to get out. She nearly swam away as soon as we opened the door, but we caught her. She's been chained here ever since. She tries to attack anyone who comes near her."
"This is the same as the fish?"
Helmy wondered.
"Is she going to die?"
"She can be healed," I replied, as I kept a watchful eye on Aliona. "Where did she work?"
"The priestess!"
The mermaid shrieked and reached another long-nailed finger at Aliona. Helmy hesitated to answer my question, and Phineas rolled his eyes.
"She works at the museum," he said. "She organizes the artifacts and gives tours through the items on display."
"So she's normally right by where the rift opened," I murmured.
"And we agreed it had been open for a while,"
Lyca reminded me.
"She was probably too close when it first opened. 2 months ago would make sense."
Mariah and Naomi nodded in agreement.
"Okay, well, I'll heal her," I told Phineas. "But you need to bear in mind she may not be back to normal."
"What do you mean?"
The Duke frowned and tugged on his bright blue braids with anxiety.
"You can either heal her or you can't."
"I can heal the poisoning as it is now," I explained. "But I can't guarantee the miasma hasn't already damaged her mind. It's designed to control the person it poisons, so if she's been sick for 2 months, the miasma may have already destroyed certain parts of her brain."
"Like her self-control,"
Aliona clarified.
"One of the hardest things for mind control magic to overcome is our ability to decide for or against an action. So miasma attacks that part of the mind first."
"But she won't be like this,"
Phineas gestured to the enraged mermaid as she flopped around angrily with her bulging, furious eyes set on the princess.
"I've never seen anyone survive the poisoning for this long."
Aliona bit her bottom lip as she considered the question.
"I can't guarantee anything, but we'll try our best, Your Grace."
"That's all I can ask," the mermaid sighed. "What do we do?"
"Stay over there," I replied, and paddled closer to the chained mermaid. "I may need a little boost for this one."
"I think so, too,"
Mariah agreed before a blinding flash of light filled the room. The spirit's presence seemed to calm my spiritual sea, which was raging as I watched this poor mermaid struggle against the chains. This wasn't her battle, yet she was forced to be a victim of the Green Glass Sect. I wanted to rip the fishermen in half and shred N to pieces. They didn't care who was caught up in their schemes, and I relished the thought of handing Olivier over to Valera, so my dragon maid could roast him alive while I watched. The images of their violent deaths flashed through my mind, and my inner dragon roared with glee. Then I could see Mariah's face in my mind's eye as she gave me a look that reminded me to focus on the present.
"Okay, here we go," I muttered. "Let's hold her down."
The dryads nodded and swam forward to grab each of the mermaid's arms. She gasped and struggled against them with another eardrum-shattering scream. But the sisters gripped her arms tighter and pinned her against the bed while I paddled closer and pulled out the sword of Hatra.
"What are you doing?"
Helmi shrieked as she tried to lunge forward, but the Duke stopped her.
"It's a magical blade,"
Aaliyah growled as she moved between the Duchess and me.
"He said he is going to help, and he is. Be patient."
The Duchess huffed and put her fists on her hips as she eyed me carefully. I rolled my eyes and pressed the end of the blade against the poison mermaid's shoulder. Then I pushed a wave of my healing magic through the sword and into her body. Mariah's power mingled with mine, and the magic surged into the mermaid's skin. Her body jolted as though we'd pumped electricity into her, and her ebony eyes rolled back into her head as she seized and shook. Suddenly, the black poison began to leave her veins, and I could feel the sword of healing pull it out like a milkshake through a straw. The miasma felt thick and tried to fight our healing power, but it was no use. I was stronger. The mermaid's skin slowly returned to the creamy color of caramel, and her body finally stopped flopping around. She laid still on the bed as I withdrew the sword and put it back into my scabbard. Then the dryads released her arms, and we all swam a few feet away from the bed.
"Is she..."
Phineas started forward, and then covered his mouth. "She's alive," I answered the rest of his question. "She's breathing, but she's probably exhausted. She'll need plenty of rest."
"And food,"
the mermaid added in a raspy voice without opening her eyes.
"I'm starving."
"Linnea, you're alive!"
Phineas gasped and rushed toward the bed to grab her hand.
"Oh, goddess, I was so worried."
I glanced over at Aliona, and we both wondered who this young woman was to the Duke. He seemed to dote on her, but she was much too old to be his daughter. Linnea slowly opened her eyes, and I was stunned to see a brilliant blue the color of sapphires. Her caramel-colored skin was smooth and supple, now that it wasn't marred by the miasma poison, and she offered a weak smile to the Duke that revealed perfectly straight white teeth. She could have been a model back on Earth.
"I'm fine, dear Finn,"
the mermaid whispered, and then craned her neck to look past the Duke.
"Where is Helmi?"
"Right here, sweetheart,"
the Duchess replied as she paddled to the other side of the bed and grasped Linnea's other hand.
"Oh, it's so good to see you looking like yourself again."
"I feel like I've just woken up from a terrible dream,"
Linnea sighed.
"How long was I asleep?"
"You weren't asleep exactly,"
Aliona answered gently.
"You were under the effects of miasma poisoning. You're actually quite lucky to be alive."
"Wait, who are you?"
Linnea asked suddenly and narrowed her eyes on the princess.
"I've seen you, I think. No, maybe not. I don't know."
"The miasma probably told you to kill me,"
the princess replied with a kind smile.
"That's why I look so familiar."
Aliona was so calm as she explained the information to the mermaid, but my blood pumped hot through my veins when I thought about how many creatures had been sent to kill my fiancé. I knew it wasn't their fault, but it didn't make me any less angry at the situation.
"I'm so sorry,"
Linnea gasped as her eyes widened.
"Did I hurt you?"
"No, Lord Evan would never let that happen,"
Polina chuckled.
"Yeah, we held you down while he healed you,"
Trina explained.
"That way you couldn't reach the princess,"
Marina finished.
"Thank you, dear dryads. I could never live with myself if I'd hurt someone. How did the miasma stuff get into me?"
"What's the last thing you remember before the dream?"
"Let me think,"
Linnea murmured as she closed her eyes.
"I got up, went to work, and then I took my lunch break. I thought I must have fallen asleep before I could eat, but I suppose that may not be all that happened."
"Do you remember anything strange about the museum? A weird smell, a strange visitor, anything out of the ordinary?"
Well, I do remember my lunch I packed was missing. I didn't think anything of it at the time."
"But you went to eat lunch,"
Aaliyah pointed out.
"So, what were you going to eat?"
"I figured I'd just catch something,"
Linnea replied with a shrug before her eyes widened.
"Yeah, I went to catch something for lunch, and I swam over to the fence behind the museum. There are usually a few fish back there, and I figured I'd just snag one for my lunch."
"Then what?" I asked, as she hesitated.
Then I heard something odd. It was sort of like a high-pitched whistle, but I couldn't see anything. I looked around for what it could be, but everything went black. Then I woke up here. She heard them opening the rift,
Mariah gasped.
Maybe she saw who did it.
Mariah said it was probably when the Green Glass Sect was opening the rift behind the museum, I said. Did you see anyone at all near it? I glanced at Helmy to see if she would react to the question, but for once, her attention was completely focused on something other than covering her ass. Maybe she really didn't have anything to do with the rift.
No.
Linnea shook her head.
I rarely get visitors at the museum. I would have noticed someone over there.
Then a loud rumble echoed around the room, and Linnea pressed a hand to her flat belly with a sheepish smile.
Okay, enough with the interrogation, Phineas announced. It's time for her to eat and rest.
I understand, I said with a nod. Let's get her to the palace.
Just let me free the chain, the Duke said as he pulled a key out from the nightstand next to her and unlocked the giant padlock near the floor.
The chain rattled through the loop as he unwrapped it from around Linnea's fin, and let it fall to the floor with a thump.
Oh, I feel so free,
Linnea sighed, and her eyes seemed to brighten even more as she pushed herself from the bed. Then she teetered back, and I rushed forward to grab her arm while Phineas grabbed the other. Are you all right? I asked as we held her up.
Certainly better now,
she breathed and stared into my eyes.
I haven't thanked you for healing me.
It was my pleasure, I murmured, and a wave of heat passed through my body.
Back to the palace,
Helmy declared and interrupted our moment. Phineas met my gaze before we lifted Linnea's arms around our shoulders and began to paddle back toward the door. Then we left the tiny house and breezed by the guards, who stared at us in complete shock.
You can leave this post now, Phineas announced as we glided past them. Return to your commander for new orders.
Yes, your grace,
one of them finally responded. The mermen guards swam in the opposite direction as we rounded the side of the castle and paddled toward the front door. The guards in front of the castle couldn't contain their surprise either, and their mouths dropped open as we swam by with Linnea between us.
Your grace,
one of them asked and moved forward.
It's fine, Melior,
Phineas responded as he waved him away.
She's been healed by Lord Devon. Go tell the cooks to prepare an early dinner.
Of course, sir.
Melior replied with a nod of his head before he flipped his fin and zoomed past us toward the kitchen.
Where would you like to sit, my dear?
Helmy asked Linnea.
The front room? The dining hall? Your bedroom?
We eat in the dining hall, of course. You have enforced that rule since I was a child.
These are uncertain circumstances,
the Duchess replied with a waggle of her finger.
You might want to take advantage.
Then the front room will be fine.
The mermaid breathed. We veered toward the sitting room and carefully placed Linnea on the two-cushioned couch, which quickly sucked her into its enchantment, and she relaxed on the arm of the seat with a sigh.
Thank you, Phineas murmured after we laid her down. I don't know how you did it, but I'm in your debt.
No, you're not, I insisted. I'm caring for my people. That's what I want to do. I don't expect anything in return except your respect. Will that work?
Of course, my lord, the Duke replied with a bow.
I think we rather owe you a favor,
Helmy muttered as she pressed her hand to Linnea's forehead.
Lord Devon has been more than kind, Phineas reminded her. The least we can do is respect the work he and the princess have done here.
And swear our undying loyalty to the king? I assume that's the next part.
That would be nice, I smirked. But if I have your respect, I'll soon have your allegiance. You'll see that I only have the best for Rama in mind.
Perhaps,
Helmy mused and turned her attention back to Linnea. Silence fell over the room as the staff entered with platters of fish and set them on the enchanted table, and the aroma of herbs and spices filled the room as the servants handed each of us our forks. I guess it didn't really matter where we ate, since they didn't use plates. Helmy snatched Linnea's fork and stabbed a bite of fish to put it into the younger mermaid's mouth.
Oh, goddess, I can eat for myself, Helmy,
Linnea insisted as she pushed herself up on the couch and grabbed the fork.
I'm tired, not disabled.
I just want to help.
The Duchess frowned as Linnea took the bite.
You never used to mind when I helped you.
I'm no longer a child, dear Helmy,
the mermaid replied with a smile.
I guess not.
Helmy huffed and took a bite from her own fork. So are you all related, or... I trailed off as I tried to understand the dynamic of the merpeople.
Not exactly,
the Duchess answered with another sigh.
Linnea's father and I grew up together, much like brothers, Phineas explained. He and his wife perished when the first wave of miasma hit the waters, after the breach was already opened.
The Duke and his wife were kind enough to take me in, despite my being a petulant, angry child,
Linnea continued and smiled fondly.
I moved into the palace, and they have raised me as their own ever since.
You were only angry at your loss,
Helmy chided her.
You were no burden on us. We've always loved having you with us.
I was angry too, Phineas added. I've never understood how the miasma got down here, especially now that I know the rift wasn't here yet. Perhaps there are other rifts?
If they had been open this long, the demons would have surely escaped,
Aliona pointed out.
Your city would be decimated. Are you certain her parents were killed by miasma?
That's what we were told, right, Helmy? The Duke asked, as he turned to his wife. That merman told us that.
He did?
Helmy replied in a halting voice. What merman? I prodded.
Some fellow who came here after the breach, Phineas answered with a wave of his hand. I don't even recall his name.
Did he have black scales? I asked as an idea formed in my head. Bald? Looks kind of old and thin?
Surely you don't think...
Mariah trailed off as she realized the connection I'd made.
That sounds exactly like him.
Phineas's eyes widened in surprise.
How did you know that? It was long before you had arrived.
Because... That was the fisherman, I muttered.
What?
Ravi gasped.
The one who opened the portal?
Naomi asked. That's the guy, I replied. He's the one mentioned in the letters, too. He was going to help Cairo challenge the king.
Challenge the king?
Phineas repeated as his face paled.
For the throne?
Yeah, I confirmed. He and some other guy we haven't found yet are part of the Green Glass sect.
That bastard has been living in our city for years,
the Duke thundered, and a rage filled his eyes with fiery hate.
He shall be punished!
My love, we should at least talk to him,
Helmy cut in.
What if this is a misunderstanding?
For all we know, he's the one who killed Tobias and Melania,
Phineas bellowed.
He said he found them, and we gave him a home for his kindness!
The sandstone walls seemed to rattle with the Duke's words as his fury filled the room. Do you know where he lives? I asked, and clenched my fists at the thought of finding the fisherman again. We can help you get him.
I'm not sure, the Duke huffed and scowled. Our staff helped find him housing, and we didn't see him again after that.
Not even once? I directed my question to Helmy, who had been staring at her fork for the last 3 minutes.
No, I'd forgotten he even existed until you described him. I could rip him to pieces!
The Duke's hands opened and closed into fists as he stared out the window toward Pullis. His anger was nearly palpable, and I wondered what he would do if it turned out Helmy was involved with the sect.
We should wait until morning,
Aliona suggested.
Right now, Linnea needs her rest, and we've already had one battle with the fisherman today. Once it gets dark, he could easily escape if he knows we're already looking for him.
Yes, I suppose that's true,
Phineas grumbled, before he slammed his fist against the table.
But at morning light, that bastard will be mine! And he will die for his crimes!
You really think he killed my parents?
Linnea whispered, and her lower lip trembled.
I don't know, my dear,
the Duke murmured and rubbed his thumb across her head.
But I will certainly find out, and if he did, I will kill him myself!
Linnea nodded in agreement, and Helmy turned away from the group with a sigh. So, let's get some sleep, I suggested to fill the awkward silence that followed. In the morning, we'll split into groups like we did before.
I'll find out which house was assigned to him, Phineas decided. We can start there.
Good idea, I agreed. If he's back home, it'll be easy. If not, at least this time, we know who we're searching for.
A merman who hurts other merpeople,
the Duke grunted. He's a disgrace to our kind. I completely understand that, I said. As far as I'm concerned, the dragons before me were a disgrace to our kind as well. We should have been known as the guardians of cities, not destroyers. It disgusts me. You don't desire gold and treasure? Phineas wondered, as he cocked his head. Oh, I do, I chuckled. But I don't take it from people unless they deserve it. I've acquired my gold when I deserve it, not when I hurt someone to take it.
Admirable,
the Duke nodded and glanced over at his wife.
Wouldn't you say, Helmy?
Mm-hmm,
she murmured, as she set her fork down on the table.
Very.
Thanks, I smirked. So I take it we're welcome to stay a second night?
Ha, ha, yes, of course,
Phineas laughed.
You've more than earned your beds here.
Thank you, Your Grace,
Aliona said and bowed.
We appreciate your kindness.
And I appreciate yours, he replied with a bow of his own. You could have easily killed Linnea to keep her from harming your women. It speaks to your character that you chose to heal her instead.
She is not the first, nor will she be the last, to be poisoned by the miasma and sent after me.
The princess responded and smiled.
We cannot focus our anger on the victims of this wretched poison.
Yeah, we just focus on the green glass sect.
Aaliyah agreed and flashed her long canines.
And we'll take them out soon,
Ravi vowed, and the phoenix's blue eyes flashed with uncharacteristic rage. With that, the Duke rose from his seat and offered his hands to Linnea and Helmy. He helped the two women rise from the couch, and he led them toward their chambers.
I'm not really tired yet,
Naomi murmured to Aliona.
Want to read some more of the new books?
Absolutely,
the princess replied with a grin.
Ravi, do you want to come too?
Of course,
Ravi giggled.
Are the books really that interesting?
Lyca asked, and her gray ears twitched with uncertainty.
Oh, they are. You can join us if you like.
I'd rather practice fighting,
Trina giggled.
Yeah, we've read enough books in school,
Marina said and scrunched up her face.
Oh, you barely read those,
Polina scolded her with a mischievous grin.
Perhaps they could teach me a bit about fighting,
Mariah nearly whispered. You want to learn how to fight? I asked in surprise.
Mariah does?
Aliona's violet eyes were wide.
What for?
Before I could respond, Mariah flashed from my spiritual sea to the real sea in front of us.
Sometimes I feel useless in battle,
the spirit confessed as she dropped her eyes to the floor.
If Lord Evan doesn't use the sword, I do nothing to help. I want to keep our family safe, too.
Okay, let's do it,
Lyca declared, and rose from her chair.
I'll teach you anything you want to know.
I'll help as well, Nike offered, and he patted the hilt of the Sword of Light. It sounds like Anya is interested in this lesson, too.
I'm going to go into my air station for a while, I announced. I feel like I can't relax, even though my body is exhausted.
I'll be up there in a while,
Aliona said, and pressed a kiss to my cheek.
I'm very curious about these lessons.
Be careful, I murmured against her hair. I'll be right upstairs if you need me.
Always,
she whispered, and paddled after the others. I swam by myself up the stairs to the room where I'd slept last night. Well, I'd slept until Rebecca showed up in all her naked glory, and my cock pressed against the seam of my trousers as I remembered waking up to her smooth, bronze skin floating above me. Oh, fuck, I mumbled to myself. Now I was horny, and all of my women were outside in the waning light, while I felt like I could barely hold myself up. It seemed like the water was weighing down every limb, and I wasn't sure if I'd slept like shit or if I just couldn't get used to being underwater for so long. I paddled into the room and over to the air station. It looked like a stand-up shower, though there was only one knob and a tube that traveled down the wall and stuck out a few inches at the floor. The cylinder was about 4 feet across and made of glass, but I felt like I should have a curtain or something. I had no idea what I was doing, but I pulled the door open and swam inside. Then I hovered in the middle of the tube for a moment as I examined the handle. Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, I muttered as I closed the stall door behind me. I think. I turned the handle to the left, and a loud sucking sound filled the tube before water slurped out of the hole at the bottom. It sounded like a tub draining, and soon the water level lowered until my head poked out into the air as I took a gasping breath.
Oh, yes,
I groaned, as the water continued to drop until I was standing inside the pod with only my soaked clothes clinging to my body. I peeled my clothes away and left them in a sopping pile on the floor of the air station. Then I closed my eyes and leaned my head against the wall of the tube as I breathed in air and allowed my muscles to relax and repair while my automatic healing kicked in. After I stood there for about 10 more minutes, I started to drift off. Then something fluttered past my eyelids, and I looked up to see a familiar face hovering in my room. Linnea? I cocked my head to the side at the sight of the mermaid in the room before me. What are you doing here?
I came to thank you,
the mermaid replied, and she swam closer to the tube and looked down at my naked body.
A real thank you.
My blood rushed south as I took in Linnea's hooded eyes and tongue flitting across her plump lips. How do I get out of this thing? I growled and tugged at the handle. Then the suction released, and water from the room poured into the tube and carried Linnea with it. I caught her in my arms as the water flowed into the air station, and her piercing blue eyes were lit up with desire. I pulled her against me and kissed her as the water continued to flow until the tube was full. I felt my cock graze her pearly scales, and the sensation sent tingles down my spine. Wait, I murmured, and pulled back for a second. How do we, do this? I gestured to her tail, which, as far as I could tell, covered the main area I was hoping to penetrate with my cock.
There are ways, but first, let me pleasure you.
Before I could respond, the mermaid dipped down and took my cock in her hands. Oh, I groaned as she stroked the shaft back and forth with her smooth palm. Linnea smirked, leaned forward, and put the tip into her mouth. She flicked her tongue across my sensitive head, and spasms of pleasure licked across my skin and left goosebumps across my torso. Then she tightened her lips around my arousal and thrust her head back and forth while I twisted her white hair through my fingers. The mermaid sucked and licked every inch of my hard shaft, and I gripped her hair even tighter as she pumped back and forth. I reached down and ripped the thin fabric that held her breasts, and as the water ran over her tits, she groaned against my cock. The vibrations along with her perfect caramel breasts sent me over the edge. Oh, fuck! I growled as I emptied my load into her throat. My hot seed poured into her mouth like a dam had broken, and she'd slurped and sucked every last drop from my thick arousal like she was guzzling a milkshake on a hot summer day.
Mmm,
she murmured as she licked her lips and rose toward my face.
I hope you felt my gratitude.
I could feel a little more, I said in a raspy voice as I took her face in my hands and kissed her again. I shoved my tongue between her lips as one of my hands drifted down to her round tit. I rubbed my thumb across her nipple, and she groaned against my mouth as her body shivered with pleasure. Then I left a trail of kisses down her jaw and throat to her breast, and I took her hard nipple into my mouth and rolled it between my tongue and my teeth.
Oh, goddess!
She squealed as she grabbed my head and pushed me closer to her chest. I growled and suckled on her tit while I reached over and played with the other one. I really wanted to let my hand go even further down, but I wasn't sure where to go with it. So I settled for reaching around and grabbing her ass. The scales of her fin were surprisingly soft as I ran my hand down to cup her round cheeks, and she squealed again as she pressed her body against mine. I know they said we can't make a baby, but can I at least fuck you? I murmured.
Well, I've never actually tried it with anyone besides a merman, but we just impress our bodies together like this,
she replied in a hoarse voice and pulled my hips closer to hers.
Then the rest happens naturally.
As my cock rubbed against her scales, I could feel the warmth of her desire for me, and I grinded my hips against her. I felt like I might end up with blue balls when suddenly it was like the gates opened. My dick slid into a perfectly sized slit in her fin, and her hot core surrounded my cock like a heat wave. Oh, gods, I groaned as I slid deep into her warm, wet pussy. My hips gyrated back and forth as I slipped up and down her slick tunnel, and Linnea threw her head back and moaned with every movement. Her arms snaked around my shoulders to my back, and she dug her nails into my skin as she shuddered with pleasure.
Oh, yes, Lord Evan. Oh, fill me with your seed. I need all of it.
Oh, fuck, yes, I grunted, and I pumped even harder into the mermaid's narrow slit. Her scales rubbed my abs and thighs, and every thrust sent intense waves of electricity through my veins. I gripped her ass even harder as she shimmied against me, and then I felt her walls tighten around me.
Oh, goddess!
Linnea shrieked, and it was like the dam broke open. Waves of her sweet juices poured over my cock, and she gripped my back so hard I could feel her nails pierce my skin. Her body quivered and shook as her orgasm racked through her, and I thrust my hips through her tightened canal as she quaked. Oh, gods, you feel so good, I murmured when she took a raspy breath.
What was that?
She asked and stared into my eyes with confusion. What was what? My mind raced as I replayed her orgasm in my head.
I felt like I was on the highest mountain of pure pleasure. Is that normal?
You've never had an orgasm before? I asked and raised an eyebrow. The mermen didn't do that to you?
I guess not. If that's what it's supposed to feel like, I'll just keep having sex with you.
Well, who would I be to deny the Duke's ward? I chuckled and guided her out of the air station toward the bed. Then I pumped into her again and again for the rest of the night until her slit was dripping with my seed.